Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, everybody. It's us again. It's the Long Run Podcast live on YouTube and hopefully Facebook this week. Fingers crossed that Toby sorted out all the technical issues we had last week. But we're all hopeful. We remain optimistic that we'll be able to get that off the ground this week. How's everybody been? I hope you've those who got through the 26.2 miles of London last week, I hope you had a great day. I saw loads of you. Loads of great pictures and loads of stuff on Facebook all about your wonderful weekends. And we're going to talk to a couple of people today who had their first taste of that big race. Alan's back after a week's sabbatical. Lovely to see you, mate.
Yeah, it's good to be back. Had a little refresh, week away, ready to go.
Yeah, I think I'm due one of them, really. Yeah, he's thought he's worked me in the ground doing this on a Friday night. But, yeah, you'll probably notice that there's one glaring omission that he's not here this week. And Chris is currently, rather than talking to this bunch of juveniles, he's at his daughter's 10th birthday. And, he's been invited to pay the bill wherever they've gone. So he's unavailable this week, but he's here in spirit, of course he is. And Toby's here too. He's directing operations. So good to see you, mate. How you doing?
I'm just pleased because I just realised Facebook's live.
Oh, well, that's all right. Well, we can celebrate. That already means it's better than last week. And that's all you can aim for, really.
Exactly.
And we are joined by two very special guests, Paula Berry and Claire Myven, and who were the lucky recipients of the 40 runs ballot places for London last week. So we're going to have a chat with them a little bit later on about their experiences and how it all went. So welcome along, ladies. Lovely to see you. Thanks for coming.
Thank
you.
Thanks.
Oh, it's great. Okay, then. So, Toby, if we start, well, we've got to talk London, really, and we promise that we're not going to keep banging on about London every week. This is going to be the last time, the last week that we're going to talk about London 2021. So, Toby, I wanted to bring in you first, mate, because how did your race go? I saw you wasted no energy when it came to breaking 4 hours. Was it 3:59:40 something?
Well, you know, I didn't want to push it too much. No, that was. I wouldn't have said it was easy.
And that was your first race. Well, you did Dorney, didn't you?
Which
the well-documented Dorney marathon episode that we won't go into because people are having their tea. But
this is definitely.
You did that, and then. And you did the virtual last year, and there you only two marathon experiences, is that right?
I did a New Year marathon locally with some of the Boxbourne group and a few other people here. We did a New Year's Eve, I think it was, went out and ran a marathon. Why not? You know,
well, you the year, right,
yeah. So, but it was my first official proper event, I would say, as much as Dorney. Obviously, Dorney was Dorney for me, but also, you know, you don't get the crowds, you don't get the same experience as a proper event, like, you know, community kind of event, I suppose, in a way. So yeah, that was my first, but yeah, really enjoyed it.
And you've been training with Chris throughout, hadn't you? And Chris has documented that he's had a few issues perhaps in the last few weeks health wise and when he was looking to he wasn't able to push on as much as he would have liked to have done. How was your training affected by that, by being a training partner? Because obviously lots of people do these. I mean, I've got my first marathon next week and I've been predominantly on my own, apart from when I've been out on Tuesday nights with the Hartford group. But you've been predominantly in a partnership with your training. How do you cope with the fact that sometimes, you know, your partner might have problems?
I mean, yeah, obviously we've done a lot of training together. As much as that, you know, it was kind of individual, we knew, but because we're at a similar place, especially at the beginning, you know, all the training was relevant. And to be honest, we both sort of knew towards the end of the training that neither of us have actually managed to complete the plan as we had liked. I mean, my training, I think we did a recap video, it's on the channel, of how we think it went, and both said we got the long miles in and we started doing that early, but the midweek stuff we really struggled with. And for me, it was time. Really struggled to fit that in with time. Chris obviously had, you know, various niggles and bits and medical bit things that stopped him. So we sort of we adjusted what we were doing, which is we wanted to finish around the 4 hours. I mean, a sub 4 hour for me would have been great, which I managed to get. And having that target really helped at the end, because I knew on the last few miles I needed to push to get there. And that really kept me going. We ran the race mainly up to mile 20 together.
Yeah.
Mainly with Chris telling me off for going too fast, which is unusual. It's normally the other way around. But I got carried away with it. So it's the first time I've done something like that, and it's the support was brilliant. I underestimated, really, having my name on my top, well, how much support that gives. I mean, the whole way around, you just got people shouting your name.
Yeah,
most of them you don't know, but it also means people you do know you kind of miss because you didn't know it was them. But the whole way around, it just pushes you on, and you know, and you sort of go those points where you want to walk. You sort of go, I can't. I've got to keep on going.
So what will you take out of the training experience then from this one? You know, because it's all a learning experience. I'm sure that this is not going to be the last marathon that you do. So what are you going to take out of it?
I'm going to mainly take out that the midweek training matters. That's the big thing for me. Is so we did a lot of long runs and weekend runs. We managed to fit in all our long runs mainly, but it was the midweek sort of speed stuff. And so where the speed and the strength come into it, that's what I missed, and that's what I'm going to take forward, is that I need to put a lot more into those.
Yeah, I'm really going to jump in there, Toby, because I think that's a really, really good point, is that particularly if you're doing your first or second marathon, you're going to get fixated on those long, long miles. But actually, it's the speed endurance that can kind of just get you over the line. And those tempo runs, even if they're 6, 8, 10 miles, can make a big difference. So, yeah, anyone thinking about it, don't neglect the speed work.
Did you manage to get any of that within your long runs, Toad? Did you manage to sort of like get sort of 5 miles at a decent clip after sort of doing 10 and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, we did quite a few of them. We would put a bit of goal pace in there, whether that be, you know, we'll do 5 out easy, do 5 at goal pace, and, you know, 5 at sort of easy again, or we'd sort of try and put in 5K or 5 miles at the end at goal pace, just so that, you know, you're emulating those tired legs, which is where it really sort of starts to count and pull. But obviously the first 5 miles, you kind of, you get carried away and you're feeling quite fresh and thinking, I could just go a bit faster, which don't.
Kiss of death, yeah.
not a good plan. But yeah, so we did put in a bit of that sort of speed, sort of goal pace in there. But it's those really high, intense efforts during the midweek where you're really pushing at the top end that really help with the strength and the endurance.
But then, you know, you've got the adaptability of a plan. You can always sort of like just adapt it for next time, can't you? That's the beauty of doing these sort of things. Alan, you were there, not spectating, too busy to spectate, weren't you?
Yeah, so I was with a gang of about, I suppose it must have been about 30 40s on mile 12 water station. So it's an early start for us. I think we were clocking in about 7:30, getting the water station set up. Must admit, first 20 minutes, don't think anyone took any water as those super elites and the super club athletes went whizzing past. But by about 10 o'clock, we were really busy. Yeah, but it was a really good place to be. I think I saw Paul. I'm not sure I saw you, Claire, but it was great to kind of see people reaching that point where they needed a little bit of a boost. I felt a bit guilty for a few people that were so pleased to get to halfway. I'm again now 12 miles, I'm afraid, is not halfway. Actually, 16 miles is closer to halfway psychologically. So keep on going. But yeah, it was a good day, a long day. And we managed to finish early enough that we could then nip down to the embankment. And again, I think I saw Paula and a few of them around about mile 22. So that was good to give them a cheer. And Toby's absolutely right. You know, getting the name on your shirt is so important because it just gives everyone an opportunity to cheer you on. And it doesn't matter how random it is. You could see people just really appreciative of that little cheer, whether they were walking, whether they were crying. I think it was raining at that point. So anything to really give them a little bit of push for that last little bit before they got to see Big Ben around the embankment. So, yeah, it was a good day out. I know we had lots of chat about, was the London Marathon going to be the London Marathon? And we'll find out a little bit more from Paula and Claire. But I think once everyone got over the start line, it felt like the London Marathon again. And again,
it certainly looked like it from where I was sat on my sofa looking out for people and following them on the app and all that. You know, it definitely grabbed the spectacle. It was the spectacle that we've become so used to. And then people did, you know, there was a realistic thing that people thought it'd never come back after what's happened in the last 18 months. So it was great to see. So we really, excuse me, really ought to talk to our guests now, haven't we, and find out all about their brilliant, well, I hope it was a brilliant experience. I'm taking it for granted it was a brilliant experience. They haven't been reluctant to come on and tell us about it, so it can't have been that bad. So I'll just say hello to Paula and Claire, and if in turn you could just tell people a little bit about yourselves and give a little introduction, that'd be great. Paula, if you go first.
Okay. Oh, well, I'm Paula. I've been running about 4 years. I'm 50 now. This is my first proper experience of a marathon. Did it virtually last year. Time logged on that was 6 hours and 57 minutes. I obviously wanted to better that this year. And obviously being there made such a huge difference to me. I think It was a really amazing experience, I have to say. And I clocked it in at 5:22:41. So I was very happy with that. You know, the nerves in the morning got the better of me, and I think I might have overhydrated. I had to stop for a pee 3 times on the route.
Paula, this is a family show.
Yeah, this sort of behavior.
And then that was a 5 minute 40 cuddle at mile 18. And so I think I might have done a little bit better had I not stopped so many times, but I just soaked it up. I mean, I found the whole rolling start really good. I didn't mind the sort of the staggered start. I've been up there before with somebody else who did it about 20 years ago. And I have to say that kind of that slow walking through the start, you know, he was saying it was like an hour to get over the start line previously, whereas this time it was much more fluid and easy to deal with. And you were over the start line before you knew it. It was very quick. I'm sure Claire will concur on that one. It was definitely very smooth. I mean, I've only been running like for 4 years, so to achieve this now is really good.
Now, Claire, you've been talking about doing a marathon for quite some time, haven't you? But the opportunity came in rather different circumstances when your name was drawn out of the hat, didn't it?
Yeah, so I kind of thought I would never, ever do one. And then it got to the point where I thought I should probably, otherwise I'll always regret not trying. So I applied for Brighton, and I got into Brighton for the next year. And then about 2 weeks later, the 40 ballot happened. And I kind of deliberated really hard about whether I should apply or not and through the 40 ballot. Because I thought, you know, the chances, you know, I don't know, it's just not going to happen. Whether, you know, somebody else will do it better than me. You know, other people deserve a chance that I've tried so many times. And then I was kind of brave and I did it. And when the email came through, I just grabbed my husband's arm and I went and I just passed my phone across and went, look. And just I was absolutely stunned. And then it was brilliant. I was so excited from that point onwards because it's the London Marathon.
And were you that saying, is Paula, when that dropped?
Funnily enough, Chris had to send me a private message to tell me to check my emails because I obviously hadn't. And yes, I was a bit gobsmacked because I've tried probably 7 times now to get in via the normal ballot. So, and obviously I've been affiliated only with 40s for the last year. So I was a bit kind of blown away, really. Very, very surprised.
So how did you both approach the training? Because it was dropped on your lap, really. You know, the decision was only made sort of like, you know, if you had a 4-month plan, it was like 4.5 months. It was only 2 or 3 weeks, wasn't it, before?
No, I think it was a week before. I think it was literally a week before we needed to start training.
There wasn't much time to. But I suppose the reality of that, as I've thought about it afterwards, that when they drop club places, club runners should, I suppose, be kind of probably running ready, shouldn't they, to a certain level anyway. So, and I think most of us probably were at kind of half marathon distance level at that point anyway. So it didn't feel too big a task, although I didn't book my hotel until I clocked my 20 miler.
Wow.
Right.
So I was, I wasn't sure. So I had a bit of, unfortunately, I've got Lyme's disease, right. And I had a flare up in the middle of training. So I was really on the fence, the week before my 20 miler was due. So, yeah.
And Claire, with you being a teacher as well, it's been a very demanding time away from your running too. How did you manage to sort of cram it all in?
Do you know, I was really lucky because even though one of the reasons I applied for Brighton next year was because it was an April and not an October one, so I didn't have to train through the summer. That was my logic, because I don't like running in the hot weather. I was really lucky because I have the luxury of a 6-week summer holiday, don't I? So at the point where it was getting really, really hard and the training was really, really long, I had 6 weeks at home to do it. And I was, you know, unlike a lot of other people who have to sort of work through that and that last bit that's become really hard, I was really fortunate. It did mean things like when we went on holiday, we were away, I was away with the family in Devon in the summer. We would get somewhere and then I would say to my husband, right, I've got to go and run 9 miles now. I've got to go and run 10 miles now. I'll see you back at the beach. And I kind of would just go and run somewhere just to get the miles in, really. And then when I got, I think the hardest run I did, probably of my training, apart from the 20 mile, because that was really hot, was when I came back from Devon and I'd been sitting in the car for 5 or 6 hours driving and I had to get out of the car, get changed, and then go out and run 12 miles. That was really tough, really hard going. But I loved it, you know, it was good, and I wouldn't change a thing, actually, and it wouldn't put me off summer training now. I think I'd always said, oh no, I could never do that, but you can do it because you can just adapt, and if you really don't like the heat, go out then sort of 6 o'clock in the morning, had quite a few long runs at 6 o'clock in the morning just to avoid the heat. And then it's much more manageable, I think.
I suppose we're really lucky. You know, people might be cursing about the weather that we've had this summer, but for us, it's been great, isn't it? Because it's been...
It wasn't a lot more manageable training. Yeah. And we were so lucky on the day as well. I don't know how Paula felt, but I just thought, oh, it was just amazing to me that the week before the temperature sort of went from summer to sort of autumn, didn't it? It really sort of just chilled, you know, cooled down a lot. And it was perfect, apart from the sort of the rain. I think
that storm was incredible.
Yeah.
I was at like mile 20 or something at that point, and the railing just went right over, and it took out about 10 runners and all the charity people were trying to hold down their gazebos on the side of the road. It was nuts, absolutely nuts. But 10 minutes later, I was dry.
Yeah, and then the sun came out again. I think Sabrina and I were at mile 23. But the problem we had was that we'd been so hot that when the rain came, and where we were all sort of sweating, whatever, all the salt went in our eyes and we couldn't see anything because we were, you know, blinded by the sort of the salt in our eyes. So that was sort of, and then the sun came out again, really strange weather, but still brilliant. And it was a perfect temperature for us, or for me, definitely.
Yeah, I mean,
I was really relieved because I'd suffered badly on the 20 mile when it was really, really hot. I think it was about 27 when we did that, really hot. Did that with Petra and it was so hot. Bedford. Yeah, it was a very, very warm day.
Yeah,
very warm day. But that made it 10 times harder, and that kind of reminded me of all the reasons I don't like doing summer running. But it was the only really bad one that I had to do in the whole of my training, so I was really fortunate.
So what was it, Paula, what was it like sort of like the week before going into it and like going to the expo and sorting all that sort of thing? How was that for an experience?
Well, it was quite busy, obviously, because I didn't get there till Saturday. Well, I could have gone earlier, but Karen Lumley was coming down to meet me and she was going to make sure she got me there because I don't know London very well at all, even though I don't live that far away. So we went Saturday afternoon and it was quite a lot of queues at that point, and they didn't have a lot of stuff left at that point either. So even if I'd wanted to buy loads, I couldn't.
That's a good thing.
Sorry?
That was a good thing.
Yeah, I did. I bought this T-shirt at the expo, and then when I went to get my medal engraved on Monday, I queued outside the New Balance store on Oxford Street and had that done on the day. And I bought some more stuff there, so it was fine.
and Claire, you mentioned Sabrina. She's just chipped in, actually. Claire, you are my hero. There was no one better to run those 26.2 miles with. Now, Sabrina comes training with us on a Tuesday at Hartford, doesn't she? She was doing her first marathon. We've had her on the show before. She was one of our earliest guests. Now, you two ran the whole way together, didn't you?
We did. We were really lucky.
When did you devise that plan? Because it wasn't something that I'd overheard you talking about before, in the sort of like the week of the training beforehand.
We didn't. We didn't really. We got there. We met each other at the tube with Tracy Whittington and with Jim. And Sabrina was just supposed to be in the wave behind me, just 3 minutes behind me. And she said, "I'm going to try and get in your wave." She said, and so I said, "Right, brilliant, okay." So we lined up, and the marshal was checking the bibs, and He said, "Right, okay, yeah, wave 12, off you go, you can go in." And Sabrina sort of pulled up her jumper, or opened her jumper, and said, and he looked at her bib, and it was wave 13. And he just looked at Sabrina, and Sabrina looked at him, and then he looked at me, and we both sort of stood there for a second, and he went, "Go on then." So that was how it started, and it was really good. And we kept each other going the whole time. She was fantastic. She just was, you know, she was brilliant. She was so, and it was so lovely to share the experience with somebody else, because I didn't think that was going to happen. We didn't have a plan to do that, but it was great. It was really nice, and we had a good, you know, we had good fun. Going over Tower Bridge was amazing. We stopped and did a bit of a selfie there. We had a little video, and yeah, it was great. It was really good.
So being with Sabrina, I imagine that was she chatty? Was there plenty of talk?
No talking. No. I was the same. We were chatting. There were points when we were really chatty, and there were points where we were just running alongside each other, and that was nice too. You know, just to know that each other were there. We had one scary moment at the water station. I think it was where Alan said he, you know, didn't think he saw me. I didn't see Alan because I was saying hello to the other Hartford girls who were on the water station, and I thought Sabrina was ahead of me, but she hadn't sort of left the water station because I think she was saying hello to Alan, and we lost each other for about 30 seconds, and there was this kind of feeling of a bit of panic. I was thinking, oh God,
yeah, I remember that. There was
I've Sabrina lost her.
Really kind of a bit jumpy. Yeah. Like, oh, I've lost Claire. Where's she going?
Yeah.
Hello.
And then we found each other again, and that was all good. It was all good, and we ran the rest of the race, and honestly, it was brilliant. It was so lovely to run with her. Really, really good. Really good.
So, Paula, you had you said you did the virtual before. Did you sort of like, how much did that, I mean, obviously it's running 26.2 miles, but how much did that experience help you knowing that you've done that before?
Yeah, it definitely helped that I knew that I'd covered the distance. But I think it was harder doing the virtual because obviously the support wasn't out there. Although everywhere we went, everyone had been told, if you see somebody with a bib on, give them a shout. And actually when we were on the second half on the way back from that run, there was cars bibbing their horns at us mm-hmm. and shouting at us from cafes and stuff. But we picked quite a remote route, so it was quite isolating, and there was five of us together, thankfully, but we lost two on halfway because one of them had a knee injury. So they walked, I think it was about 12 miles, I think they walked in the end, and the rest of us just stuck together. So it was three of us that came in to finish at the same time. So, yeah, I suppose it was just good knowing I'd done the distance. I just wanted to do the community proud, if you know what I mean. I expect Claire feels the same.
Just
that kind of, yeah, you're given that spot. I've always wanted to run London, always. So, you know, I would say that is my bucket list run. So I'm ecstatic that I've done it. Last year, I had no clue about gels and water and hydration, even though I've been running for all this time. We literally obviously bought the places about 3 weeks before the virtual happened. So I didn't do any real training other than kind of probably 5 or 6 miles. So it was a very different experience.
Yeah.
But did you switch into it okay, like the training regime? Was that something that you enjoyed doing? Or was it slower than you didn't
no,
like
it? No, it was good. I mean, obviously, I had a bit of a curveball thrown at me, obviously, with the lines flaring up. And then it was my 50th birthday right in the middle of training as well. So that wasn't such good timing. But I ran the big half, and then I upped my miles from then. So I did that one. And then I did my two longest runs in the same week. So I ran 16 miles on Bank Holiday Monday, and then my 20 miler on the Saturday.
Yeah.
So that was a tough week. And then I did a couple of like 10 milers, and then I did the Bridges run with all the 40 gang. So that was my last long run, apart from a 10K, which I did the Monday before the marathon. I probably didn't run as many miles as some people would think they'd run in training either. So I wished I'd probably done another longer one in between the 16 and the 20, but lesson learned, I think, in that respect. Next time, if I do another one.
Next time? Is there going to be a next time?
Well, when I first came away, I said definitely not, and then I signed in the ballot, not yesterday, the day before.
So, so you had a bit of experience to build on anyway, and even if you knew that you didn't perhaps do it as
I mean, this time I gelled every 45 minutes all the way through. I ate breakfast properly. I had a caffeine shot on the start line and plenty of water. So, it was much better.
And Claire, was your sort of the fact that you'd sort of like got this ad hoc arrangement with Sabrina that you were, did that affect your sort of fueling strategy or anything like that, or did you just stick to your guns at what you were going to do?
It improved it because Sabrina was, I was keeping an eye on the pace and Sabrina was telling me when to take the gels, because I think the one thing that I have realised on the long runs, which I never really appreciated before, was how quickly those 45 minutes go between each gel. It just flies past. And when you're talking and when you're, you know, everybody's shouting and yelling, and I kept on saying to Sabrina, right, are we nearly there yet? Are we, you know, is it new gel? Because I could feel myself dipping a little bit. She was like, yeah, right, 5 minutes time. And so that was brilliant for me. And I think I probably wouldn't have done that anywhere near as well on my own, because I just forget sometimes. And then you've got the danger of kind of leaving it too long and then dipping. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was brilliant. The fact that she
you've spoken before, haven't you, about sort of like sometimes it's going along so swimmingly that you forget to fuel.
It doesn't happen all the time, but I've quite often finished races of a range of distances and you go out, you suddenly realise you've got three gels left in your pocket and you think, well, actually, I've done myself a disfavour there. A, I could have done without the weight, and B, I probably would have benefited from...
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Taking on a bit of fuel. You're right, Claire. You know, you think 45 minutes normal on a training run is going to drag, but boom, because of London, because of the atmosphere, because of all the experience, you kind of have to just check yourself in, because if you don't, you'll feel it later on in the race. It'll catch up with you. So early and often would be my advice.
I think that's the gel thing for me really helps break up the race, I find, as well. Is that my, you know, it's not miles necessarily. I think about gels. So I go, right, you know, so it's about 4 miles or about, you know, so that, and then that's, you know, X amount of minutes, and that's when my next gel is. So you're not thinking of the end. You're not thinking of mile 26 or 24. You're just thinking of that next 4 miles of an hour, which then ticks by. That sort of helps me remember.
I've found that sort of like, because I've got my first one next week in Yorkshire, and I've found like doing my long runs, I get to a stage where it's, oh right, I'll do 4 miles, and then towards the end it's sort of like, oh well, I'll have a drink at 2 miles, and then just sort of like I'm just chopping it up into little bits, and then I'm never that far away from. I found that really helpful. But obviously, you know, as the only person on here who hasn't done a marathon, I'm not really qualified to talk about it yet. But we'll have to say, Al, you've got some people who've said some nice things about our guests. So
yeah, loads of shout outs for Claire and Paula. You know, lots of people, you know, really acknowledging what they've done in terms of the achievements of taking on their first marathon. We've also got Sarah Roper that was in very early on with the comments. She was there on marathon day, her first marathon on her first ballot. Doesn't get much better than that, does it?
Wow.
So let's hope you can keep the streak going, Sarah. We've had an interesting comment from Jason Hawes. He knows, and if you've listened to the show, probably Chris has ranted most weeks about some of the organisation in the run-up to the London Marathon, particularly about bag drops and expos. And Jason says, look, once you got over the line, that all kind of just went away. He had such an absolute experience that that powered into significance.
Yeah, I'd just like to bring the ladies in on that. You know, did you, Paula, did you find that a lot of that talk, were you able to shut that all out, or did it, you know, did it affect your preparation or anything? Do you worry about this sort of thing?
Nothing. That doesn't really bother me, to be honest.
No.
No, not at all. Just
no.
You're
so laid back. Pair of you. Brilliant.
Well, I think it forced me to stay for two nights in London because I was stressing. The only bit I stressed about was what would I do with my stuff if I was only staying the night before?
Mm.
So I did stay for two nights, which gave me plenty of time to recover. So, and I had five guys for dinner.
Post race.
And I took a cycle taxi from Trafalgar Square to Baker Street where I was staying. I've never done that before either, so it was a whole new experience.
Yeah, it was about 400 quid, I think.
No, 40 quid. 40 quid.
Oh, sorry, you've done a marathon. Yeah, it wasn't better.
It was, yeah.
It's not like you could walk, though, is it, at the end? I know I couldn't.
I wasn't doing too bad then. I think I've recovered fairly well as well. I've just done my second run today and a bit faster today than I was on Tuesday.
Yeah, so, Tuesday is horrible. We did one. Yeah,
yeah. We'll talk about the aftermath in a minute. But as you all know, we have our lightning round questions where we ask for our guests, and of course we've got two guests, so we've got to get two in. So, who would you like to do first, Al?
Toss a coin.
Yeah, go on then.
Paula.
Paula's up first. Before I never do Claire at the end, so I'll leave you. In our
total hands. Welcome back, Paula.
Hi.
Everyone else goes off for a toilet break, so they kind of leave me to whiz through the lightning round. If you've heard it before, you might know some of the questions, but let's go for it anyway.
Okay.
First answers, please. So, bucket list race. Obviously, you've done London. What's next?
New York.
That's a good one. Pre-race breakfast?
Porridge and protein powder.
Ooh, favourite distance?
10 miles.
Adidas or Nike?
Nike.
Favourite brand of running shorts or leggings?
Tiki Boo.
Okay. Ketchup or brown sauce?
Ketchup.
Excellent. Winter training or summer training?
Winter.
Road or trail?
Road.
One song playlist. Remember, this is going to be there for 5 hours, 22 minutes and 41 seconds.
Flashdance, what a feeling.
Okay. And last one, blonde or brunette?
Blonde.
Toby, run the titles, please, mate. Thank you, Paul.
So, Paula, another member of the Tiki Boo fan club. I see the order went out this week, Chris, the thing. And I think the last time we saw hysteria like that was during the Bay City Rollers heyday. It was absolute pandemonium on there of people desperate to get their leggings. And,
I don't know if you can see my collection behind me.
Oh.
On the door.
I said to some of the girls at Hartford, they're a bit like these people. Some of them, they're a bit like these people who queue up for petrol when they've got three quarters of a tank. You know, there's loads of sort of like madness on the old ticker booth front. But you've all learned it. You've all learned it. Everybody who's smashing out races at whatever distance, you've all learned. And it's nice to buy yourself something, isn't it? Particularly after you've landed such a great achievement. So. What I want to talk about now, the elation of crossing the line, was it everything it lived up to, it you wanted it to be, Paula?
Yeah, it was. I obviously, as you know, I've lost a couple of really important people in my life, so they were with me, And my sister lives in New Zealand. She was absolutely devastated she couldn't be here to see me go over the line. She is a member of this community as well, so hopefully she'll see this. When I got the 385 yards to go, I took a photo and I got my camera out and I filmed me running over the line, and that was for her. And then when I crossed the line, I bawled my eyes out. It just every bit of emotion that I'd felt for the whole day just came flooding out. I was, yeah, completely blown away. And then to see other people doing the same thing and how emotional everybody was just kind of made it worse. I was a blithering wreck. And then I waited for Mel to cross the line as well, and then she was a blithering wreck as well. So it was amazing. More than I could have hoped for.
Oh, great. And Claire, I saw the video. Somebody captured a video of you two, you and Sabrina, crossing the line, and I nearly had a tear myself. It was so emotional. It looked lovely.
Yeah, we were so lucky. It was one of the Broxbourne ladies, Wendy, I think Sabrina said it was, who had a picture of us, not sort of from sort of inside where the line was. So after we'd crossed the line and we sort of had a hug and we were watching another 40 come down. So we were watching out for her. But yeah, and Sabrina and I had a little tear as well, and just kind of can't believe we've done it. You know, it was that conversation, really. Can't believe we have just run the London Marathon, because that is, you know, it's something I've watched on TV since I was as a kid, you know. And there were other lovely moments as we were running as well, and things that, you know, I think I did the YMCA at one point I think it was around Woolwich or somewhere. There was people sitting in their gardens. There were people on microphones shouting out and singing, and going over Tower Bridge and then sort of coming along the embankment. And when we saw, I didn't see Alan again, but I saw again some more of the Hartford lot along the embankment who'd been on the water station, and Andrew Fletcher and different people we saw. And it was just amazing. And I think the whole thing, I agree with Paula, it was just so emotional. And then I walked up afterwards, I'd left Sabrina, and I walked up afterwards to Trafalgar Square and I saw my husband, and then all over again, started crying all over again. So, yeah, it was just amazing, incredible. I would highly recommend it. We were very lucky.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, it certainly seemed like that. I just must give a shout out to John Birch at Shell for your support. Thanks very much, mate. Thanks for that. So, yeah, blimey, I'm emotionally drained just going through it or watching you, you know, talking about it now. It was, and it was a great thing to see. You know, when I saw that video, it really touched me. It was great. Now, it's nearly a week now since you've done it. Claire, what's the week been like?
You said I was a teacher, and I had done an assembly last Friday for my kids at school. And I told them I was going to run the marathon, and they also, they were going to watch me on TV. So when I went back into school this week, they asked me if I came first. And I had to burst their bubble and say, no, I didn't come. Did you come second then? No, I didn't come second. So I had lots of questions from lots of the kids at school. And I took my medal in and showed them, my head teacher showed them in assembly, which they quite liked. And we've been doing at school this week, we've been doing the mini marathon as well. So because I was doing it last week, we signed up with the London Marathon to do the mini marathon in school. So they've been running 2.6 miles this week in school, all of the children. So they've been doing sort of every day.
They're the primary kids, aren't they?
Yeah, they're primary school children, yeah. And so they've been loving it. And they said, have we run our marathon today yet? Can we run our marathon today yet, Mrs. Mython? When are we going out to run our marathon? So they actually have believed this week that they've been running a marathon, which has been just amazing. So really good. In terms of recovery, Tuesday night at Hartford really hurt. It was the nicest Chris had ever been to us, I think. He was really forgiving on Tuesday night.
Think Charlie would say that. I'll just drop him in it, being he's not here.
Charlie, who he didn't realise had run a marathon until after he'd been
We had a session. Well, some of us, either if we were tapering or we were recovering, we were taking it rather easy. But for half the group, it was quite an intense sort of sprint session. And Charlie, who's in the group, she was involved in that. And Chris was pushing her along, and she's like, "Oh, I can't believe it." And she hadn't told it. He didn't know that she'd done the virtual on the Sunday, and that she'd done it. And it wasn't until we got back to base, and he's like, "What? Well, you did? Did you? Oh,
what did you tell me?
What did you tell me?" And she was like, "Oh, she was cursing, bless her." So,
I'm jumping with a question for Claire. I want to know how many pupils in your school. You'll see the relevance in a minute.
How many children in my school? It's quite a small school. About 220, something like that.
Okay, because Rachel Gardner wants to know how many people you told during the week that you've run a marathon.
Oh, so probably not as many as Rachel told, I would say.
In excess of 220, at least.
Yeah, well, I told them all in assembly, so probably quite a lot. And then, I didn't really tell them this week. They all asked me. So,
and a supplementary was, how many days consecutively did you wear your T-shirt, your finisher's T-shirt?
Do you know, I haven't worn my T-shirt yet. What? I haven't worn it. I haven't worn it yet, but I have bought my 26.2 Club One from 40. I have got that one to wear, so I will be getting onto that. I think it's because I haven't really run this week. I've only done two runs, so I haven't really had a chance.
So you were back in action on Tuesday. Have you been out since?
Yeah, Wednesday morning I went out, and that was a little bit easier again. I think, I know we were sort of talking about this before, and you were talking about this on the long run previously about that recovery, and Alan kind of does the Hansen plan, doesn't he? And it's sort of, says about resting. But I found for me that it was a lot better once I'd been out, and I just did a couple of miles really kind of gently, but I found it much better. And my legs felt a lot better after I'd been out, which I didn't believe they would, but they really did. So, and I feel fine again now. I do feel absolutely fine, probably from Wednesday night onwards, all good.
Paula, are you a fan of the recovery run, or do you sort of like a bit of a rest?
I think Paula last year would have been flat out for a week. But Paula this year, I walked half an hour on Monday morning to get to the New Balance store. That was really, really good for me, actually. Tuesday, I ran 3.5 miles with a local running group. And then I've been out this morning and done 4. So, and I've got a park run tomorrow in my shirt, my London Marathon shirt.
Right,
everyone
so
needs to see that.
What about the mental aspect after you've finished, such a momentous thing? Are you, you obviously look back on it, we've talked about the actual relation of finishing. Has there been any sort of come down for you mentally?
Not for me. I'm running Oxford Half next weekend, so I've had to try and keep mentally strong for that. I'm going up with Faye and Paula Swallow. We're going to stay up for a night. So I just need to keep ticking over. So I think because I've got that in the diary already, I don't think I'll probably won't come down until after I've done that one, I suppose.
Mm. What about you, Claire? You're still buzzing?
Absolutely. It's been really nice, and it's kind of been nice now the pressure's off, and you can just, I think I've just enjoyed this week. If I want to run, I can run, but I don't have to run a certain amount of miles. I can just do whatever I want, and that's quite nice. I've got a couple of things coming up, so I'll be in Yorkshire next week with you, Ian, doing the 10 mile. And then I've got a couple of halves in November as well, sort of locally. So I think I'll just drop back down now to sort of 12 or 13 and do those as my long run and just sort of keep it ticking over, really.
Toby, are you like that? Are you glad that you're not sort of like being prescribed certain distances at certain times on certain days? Glad to get out of that routine?
Yeah, in a way, as though my midweek routine's been gone for a long time. Unfortunately, I mean, it's quite nice knowing I don't have to get out there on Sunday and or Saturday this week and do a 16:20 odd. I'm actually kind of going the other way, but I think looking forward to kind of getting a plan back together you know, something a bit more structured. But again, I think that is because I didn't, for the last few months, I haven't really been following one. So yeah, I kind of want to do that. I mean, I suppose it's, you know, doing London's pushed me on a bit of thinking in my next big one, I think it's Edinburgh next year, which has been postponed for how many years so far?
Yeah, I'll be there.
It's kind of pushed me to go, I want to give it a good go. You know, yeah. I mean, I want to get that training spot on, and we got the time, get it pushed in. So yeah, that's kind of what it's done to me. But I think, yeah, up till, obviously there's a little mountain in Wales to climb up in a couple of weeks.
You'll be all right. You'll breeze that, mate. You'll be fine.
Got to get that through, and then you're probably similar, you know, push maybe a few halves, stuff like that, and then yeah, look forward to getting back on some training for next year. Maybe a March marathon. Let's see.
Yeah.
See what it's about.
Al, what's your experience at the Marathon Blues?
Well, it's interesting because I think, you know, the post-marathon blues is an actual thing. You know, there's been a fair bit of research into it, and I from a personal experience, when I ran my first marathon in Berlin back in 2018, I think I suffered from it. You know, I think what was, although I was still planning on doing runs and I was still kind of going to be active, didn't quite go according to plans. So there was a bit of kind of disappointment in there.
What, the race?
Yeah, kind of, you know, my running buddy at the time, we'd spent weeks, and he's a mathematician and a professor. So we had every split nailed to within every second. And your first marathon, it don't go like that, does it? So there's an element of disappointment, but there did seem to be just a big gap, you know, having concentrated so much and being a handsome runner where you're running to plan 6 days a week, there was kind of that moment where you're looking around going, you know, what do I do next? So it sounds like Paula and Claire have kind of got it spot on in terms of making sure they're going to be busy. More recently, doing Dorney, when I managed to crack the sub four, you know, again, huge elation, worked really hard, come out of COVID, you know, trying consistently because I thought it was going to be running London and it didn't quite happen. And I must admit, over the summer, it's been quite hard, really, to get some of my motivation back because that was such a big target for such a long time. It's taken a little while to go, well, how do I reset? How do I refocus? And how do I have the energy to go through that all again? I will. I've actually got four marathons now signed up for 2022. So I'm going to jump in with both feet next year. But it is a thing. And I'm sure, you know, there will be lots of people that have run their first marathon, may not be back in the ballot like Paula or Claire. And, you know, they could well be thinking, what do I do next? And it is about finding that something that's going to get you. It may not be running. It could be something else. It could be triathlon. It could be, you know, some other big challenges that you've had on your list for a long time. Because I do say London Marathon changes you, or a marathon changes you. Hopefully it's always for the good.
I suppose that leads to the big question then to our two guests, in that, are you going to do it again? Not necessarily London, or, you know, what's next? What's your next plan? I'm sort of more long-term than, like, the Stevenage Half Marathon and going to Oxford and things like that. I mean, what are your big targets for next year, say?
I entered the ballot for the London Marathon on the Saturday night before I did it on the Sunday, just in case I sort of chickened out the next day, if you like. But having done that, that would be amazing to get that again. I think the chances are obviously really slim, but... I have got Brighton booked because that was the one that I had booked before, although I do keep on threatening to Petra that I'm going to drop it back down to a 10K again, but I'll see how I go, see how I feel after Christmas, I think.
And Paula?
Oh, she's on mute.
She's on, you're on your, you've gone quiet, you're on your mute button.
How am I on mute?
Oh, we did that. 51 minutes, that was good effort, we cracked on.
Have you got me back?
Yeah, you're in. Yeah. What's the sort of like the long-term plan?
Well, next year I've got Ragnar Relay in September with the ladies. I don't know if Carolyn's doing that. Is she, Alan, with us? I'm not sure who's in.
I'm on camera. I can't express a view, but I believe she is. Yeah. No, she's not.
Okay, but there's a few of us. So I think it's the Paulers and Faye and me and possibly someone else, but I can't remember. But yeah, so that's next year's goal, to get that done. Possibly another bigger marathon, maybe the year.
Oh, we've lost her. She's disappeared.
She's dropped.
She's gone. Yeah.
Yeah. It was, I think, you know, she's definitely not resting. You know, she may be resting her mobile phone, but she's definitely not resting when it comes to a running. Hey, wasn't that an inspired decision to do a lightning round first there now?
Just the luck of the draw. The
way. Hey, that was good planning, wasn't it?
But I think that leads us in nicely to our one email this week. I know we've got an email special coming up in a few weeks' time, but I think we've had an email in, haven't we, Toby? Yeah, give us the thumbs up.
Yeah, there's an email about...
We haven't had Richard Head on this week, thankfully, but apparently his sister, Sue, down in Brisbane, Australia, has got a question for Chris. I know he's not here, about favourite sunglasses to wear.
He's got favourite ones, and I think the new range is out soon.
Are they? Right, okay.
He can hear himself, but for those on the podcast, Chris has made an appearance via a picture. I won't reveal the source of the picture, but he's got a lovely fetching pair of cupcake sunglasses on.
Very Elton John.
I'll get him to put a link in out later with where you can get them from.
So there you go. Sue from Brisbane, that is the latest thing to be wearing when you're out on your long runs listening to the podcast. Thank you, Chris. Here in spirit.
Yeah, we're missing you, mate. Paul is back.
Sorry.
You were saying, you know, you got the Ragnar, and there's plenty of more stuff that you're looking forward to and cracking on.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I'll see how the recovery continues. I feel pretty good, so I might need to pencil a few more things in.
Right, we're entering the home straight now. So, Alan, I think you should take Claire and do the lightning round. And what do you think of the new credits? Good, aren't they? Flash.
They're brilliant. Love them. Excellent.
Well, it's your baby, mate. You know, this is what this is your thing.
Twice in a night. God.
Right. I'll let you interrogate Claire then. I'll chip off.
Hi, Claire. Welcome back to your turn on the lightning round. Was you listening in when Paula's turn?
Well, I do listen most weeks, so yeah, but I can only ever remember about three questions.
And that's okay, because I do repeat them. So let's go for it, shall we? Bucket list race.
It was London. London again. I'd love to do a London again.
Right, in the ballot. Okay, pre-race breakfast.
Porridge and bagel.
Oh, mixing it up. Well, favourite distance. Then.
Probably 10K.
Cool. Just under an hour. Adidas or Nike?
Neither really. Brooks, but Nike if I had to choose one.
If you had to, right. Favourite brand of running shorts or leggings?
Tikaboo.
Two Tikaboo.
Oh, and Sweaty Betty.
Oh, okay. Ketchup or brown sauce?
Brown sauce.
Winter training or summer training?
Winter, but I may be a convert now.
Yeah, you're coming around to thinking the other way. Road or trail?
Road.
Okay, one song playlist. What is it?
Now Sabrina and I were talking about this when we were running, and Mr. Blue Sky ELI came on as we were running, and I said to Sabrina, I think this is going to be my one song playlist. I said, I think this will be it.
This is it. Excellent. That's a good choice. And then last one, Bloody Mary or Singapore Sling to celebrate?
Oh, gosh. No, not Bloody Mary. That's tomatoes. No, the other one.
Vodka. The other one's gin. You're going gin.
Singapore. Oh, gin. Yeah, gin.
Okay, cool. Excellent. Well done, Claire. And well done on your marathon. Toby, run the titles, please.
Thanks, Claire. Thanks, Paula. I hope you've managed to give some sort of insight to people who haven't had the marathon experience of what it's actually like as a first timer. Congratulations to you both for completing such a brilliant thing. And it's so good to hear that it's not going to be the last time that you're going to be looking to complete a race like that. So thanks ever so much for joining us. It's a big weekend this weekend up in Manchester, particularly. Anybody who is doing a marathon or a half up there, you know, best of best of luck. I gave a shout out to my niece about doing the Bournemouth half marathon last week, but fortunately she didn't do it last week. It's this week. So I'm going to give her a shout this week as well to say best of luck to Leah for that. And thanks ever so much for joining us again for the Long Run Podcast. We'll be back next week. Chris is back next week, I think. And I don't know what we'll be talking about. Something.
Don't forget to send your emails in. We haven't mentioned the email, longrunshow@gmail.com. Ready for our email special in a few weeks' time.
Yeah, see, it's a good job Alan's here because he's the only one who can remember the address. But, yeah, it's up on the screen now. So, fortunately, I'd say it's longrunshow@gmail.com. Write about what you like. You know, we do, you know, running related preferably, but we will bang on about other stuff. So we're quite willing to take that.
So, we are the loose women of the running world. Remember that?
Indeed. Loose women, apparently.
Are we still second in Latvia, Tobe? Has anyone checked the stats this week?
Slovakia.
I mean, after Facebook last week, who knows? You're probably taking
Yeah, we'll probably crash through the floor. Yeah.
But well, who knows? They can keep their site up, so who knows?
So, well, the only way to ensure that we maintain our position as the fifth most downloaded podcast in the UK is for you to do that yourself. So, you know, go to Apple or Amazon or Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, and download us and take us out on your long run this week, wherever you're going. We wish you all the best of luck. Thanks ever so much for joining us again. Thanks to Claire. Thanks to Paula. Well done again. Lovely to see you back, Al. Hopefully this will be a regular thing and you'll grace us with our presence more often. That'd be lovely.
Most of the year, yeah.
Yeah, and thanks to Toby and thanks to Facebook, not only for getting us going, but for also shutting down for 6 hours on Monday. So some of us who didn't do the marathon at least got a little bit of respite from people's medal pictures and wonderful experiences and things like that. So we could come back and talk to people about it on Friday, fully refreshed and full of the joys of all things London Marathon. But hopefully that'll be it now. We won't be banging on about London Marathon much more. So thanks ever so much for joining us. We'll be back next week on YouTube and Facebook, 7 o'clock Friday. If you can join us, that'd be great. If not, please download us at your site of choice, and we would love to see you. So thanks ever so much for joining us, and Tobe, run the titles.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.